the sponsors, just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
The Florida Georgia Truth Network in Argyle at 91.7. Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion each and every day as we once again face the issues. We're at a very critical moment today. It is the day before the primary election, which will be tomorrow. Already in the past several days, we've had the early voting booths open, and we're thankful for those that have voted. I say to each and every one that's listening today, every vote counts. You've heard me say that many, many, many times down through the past years and years and years, that election cycle, when many times Christians are silent. Christians and conservatives and patriots in particular, we need to stop being silent. We need to come out of the closet, out from under the bed, and out of the salt shaker, and be salt and light as God has called us to be. As we face the issues each and every day, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It is the truth book. Jesus, speaking to his disciples in John 8, 31 and 32, made this statement: "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." And ladies and gentlemen, John 14, 6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further in John 17, 17, God's word makes a declaratory statement: "Thy word is truth." Then in Psalms 117 and verse 2, the Bible says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." Ladies and gentlemen, truth matters today as much, if not more, than in the history of our world. It was the secularist George Orwell that made the statement in the dystopian novel entitled 1984. By the way, that dystopian novel entitled 1984 was published back in 1947, 48, and 49. Orwell made some pretty fascinating predictions as a secularist as to what the nation would be like when 1984 arrived. Well, I believe he was a little off on his dates, but this is one of the statements: "The further society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." We see that taking place today. Just an example of that, we've been witnessing and watching some of the, flying around of non-truths and elements of slander in this and the local campaigns and in the national campaigns, more than I believe the history of America. Especially in Duval County and St. John's County, we've had truth being bounded about as though it has no value at all. We're going to talk about that briefly today as we talk with a candidate that's running for a very special office in the state of Florida that I believe we need to recognize and we need to uphold and vote to make sure that conservatives and patriots and Christians go into offices. Ladies and gentlemen, it was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint made a very profound statement. Jim DeMint said, "What we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real. Yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in our Christian churches." Most younger Americans today, the millennial age group, 18 to 35-year-old group, I'm looking at a headline that says, "Most younger Americans say there's no such thing as absolute truth." I believe, ladies and gentlemen, that's perhaps one of the most decaying, undermining, destructive issues and elements in our society today. This is the reason you're watching the useful idiots, the airheads, the mushheads, as Limbaugh used to call them, that's marching and demonstrating and wanting the destruction of Israel and the building up of and the recognition of Palestine as a nation. No such thing as a Palestinian, ethnically speaking. But yet we find them saying from the river to the sea. That's because of the useful idiots that as they're being used. And ladies and gentlemen, if I can just put a little parenthetical footnote. If you want to watch chaos, confusion, and calamity, watch what is happening in Chicago this week. I've said for months and months and months now that this meeting with the DNC in Chicago will be very much like the 1968 fiasco that was called the Democratic National Convention. They're already telling us that about 100,000 pro-Palestinians, anti-Israel demonstrators will be at the convention doors. Now, I've noticed that Chicago police, along with the state troopers in that state, along with the Secret Service, et cetera, they put up major, major barriers, and they've got thousands upon thousands of law enforcement officers to protect the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democratic National Convention. It's going to be interesting to see what happens, ladies and gentlemen, at that place during the course of this week. But we're going to focus on truth. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus that made a powerful statement. He said, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. That's been my challenge for less than 100 years on this broadcast each and every day, and I pray that that has been effective in your thinking. This is the reason we need to vet the candidates, understand who the candidates are, understand what is real and what is fictitious in our casting our vote. It is more important today than, I believe, the history of America. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment with the homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is conveniently located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. There's an identifier. There's a 165-foot flagpole on the campus of Tools for Time. Atop that flagpole is Old Glory, the U.S. flag flowing 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole, the base of the flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, during the course of this broadcast today, we invite you to call in. The telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone so that you can entertain. We can entertain your questions, comments, dialogue, and discussion on the issue of the day. We're talking about voting. Now listen very carefully. Let me just correct a few little misnomers that's out there, and perhaps you have thought it or someone has mentioned it. There's a mindset somehow, some way that Christians ought not to be involved in politics. Listen, God created civil government, and the purpose for God's creation of civil government was for civil government to be a servant. That word servant means doulos, a slave, for God. Romans, the 13th chapter, verses 1 through 7, validates that the purpose that God created civil government is to prosecute evil and to protect good. We're finding the reverse of that in our societal norms today. People like Kamala Harris believes we need to disengage anything that's called law enforcement. They believe we need to defund the police officers. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, I find it fascinating. Kamala Harris and the now anointed one for the vice president, Walz, WLZ. Both of them have the mindset that we need to disengage from anything that's called law enforcement. I thought that we need to defund law enforcement, but yet at this very moment, Kamala Harris, there for the convention this week, has more law enforcement surrounding and protecting her than any other human being on the face of the globe. And yet, for we the people, we need to think that somehow, some way, we need to disengage with the law enforcement. Ladies and gentlemen, we're looking at, if elected, the most corrupt, ungodly, unholy, anti-American, anti-God duo that can ever be thought of as president and vice president. That is Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. Tim Walz, by the way, just finally, after it was he was confronted with it, admitted that he had funded over $2 million to a part of the ISIS group, that is the Islamic group, that's out to destroy the United States of America. But ladies and gentlemen, we have today, and it's my delight to have a guest with us, Melina Gay. Melina is here today to talk about her candidacy for the position of committee woman for the state of Florida. We're delighted that she's with us, taking time out of a busy schedule. Listen, right on the very, how would you say, the eve of election, and waving signs, talking to people, answering questions, and now seated with me in the studio to talk about her candidacy and why it is so vitally necessary. And I pray that you'll listen up. If you have any questions, call in. Ask Melina the questions in relationship to what she's doing, why is she doing it, and what is taking place. So, Melina, thank you so much for being with us. Take a few minutes just simply to open our conversation and dialogue, and once you've done that, then we'll start taking our calls and then continue to listen to what you have to say. Explain to our audience today just what a Florida committee woman is, what's it about, what's that position for?
Yes, sir. So the committee woman and committee man seats are elected every 4 years. They're on every presidential election ballot. A lot of times people haven't realized the power that's in this seat, but these two seats are actually the highest ranking officials within the Republican Executive Committee. Each county elects a state committee man and a committee woman. That is done by a polarity vote. Every voter that is a registered Republican can vote in this election countywide. The role of the committee woman is to be the liaison between the Republican Party of Florida and the county level.
Mm-hmm.
So we would go to the quarterly meetings, and we would go and sit in on these different committees. Hopefully I get assigned to a good committee that's power, you know, has some impact. But if not, you know, you have to let the other committees do it. But what you're basically doing is looking at rules changes. We saw a little bit of that when they tried to make the rule that you could not, that Trump could not be on the ballot unless he signed the agreement that he would support the Republican nominee. They tried to remove him from the ballot. That created a big upheaval there. But that's the kind of decisions that are made on the state level. So it's important for the county representative to be there to let the members know what's happening, what's transpiring, because a lot of times these rules will get changed quietly, and they could have a detrimental impact on our elections in the future. But what you could do with this position that I see a big area of improvement is that we could be vetting our candidates a lot better.
Yes.
We could restore some integrity. As you know, our party has become, or the Republican Party has become notorious for mudslinging and disinformation.
We're finding that during this election, aren't we?
Absolutely. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And that's not the values that we uphold. I mean, not for me, not for you, not for Christians. I mean, we want truth, honor, integrity. We're law and order, and we have so much disorder. We don't even have time to worry about the Democrats because there's so much infighting and smearing and circles. It's just very vile. But I think that someone with a platform that had the courage to stand up and say, this is wrong, you know, not to be intimidated by elected officials or higher ranking officials that tell you to be quiet under Reagan's 11th commandment.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't have a problem pushing back on that. And there's a lot of questions about money, exchange of hands, you know, who's running what, who's paying for this, who's funding. But I can tell you 100% it's coming from inside of our GOP. And I wouldn't make such a bold statement if I didn't know it for a fact and have the receipts.
Yes.
But no one's really interested in that. You know, when you bring something up like that to light in the position I'm in, just as a member, you're divisive. But that's what's led me to run for this seat, is I see in a way change comes from the top.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. It's a non-paid position, requires travel. you're going to, what if I win this election, I will be very unwanted by some people, and that's okay with me, but I want to represent the voice of the people, the parents, the moms, the veterans, the elderly, the ones that are wondering why we keep electing Republican officials that do not represent our values once they get there.
One of the things, basically, Melina, that I think that you're saying is Trump has run his election on the basis he's going to clean the sewer, clean out the swamp, and I believe that's what you're saying, that you need to, that you see that needs to be done with this area.
I'm a plumber at this point. I'm going to drain the swamp here. And when he used to say that, I mean, I remember when we started talking about deep state, the swamp, I always assumed he was referring to D.C. Unfortunately, we have a giant swamp here.
Yes.
And it's right here in our county.
Absolutely.
Every county, a lot of counties have it. It's not just here. It's this nationwide. But here, I can tell you for 100%, we have a swamp in Duval County.
We need to investigate that, talk about that further in just a moment. I believe we have Tom on the line. Tom, go with your question or comment, please.
Yes. Melania, I just would like you to know that if you're endorsed by Dr. Youngblood, you have to be the best. And I'm very excited to hear you talking the conservative message. And you're exactly right. We're at a turning point where if we don't stand up and do something, that there won't be a conservatives. If the conservatives don't clean their own house, we're headed. But I'd like to ask you a question, because you sure seem like the person to ask. If this election is stolen like the last one, do you think that there'll be an uprising in the United States?
That remains to be seen. We can pray that that doesn't happen. But yes, I think already there's an uprising in the United States. I don't think they ever fixed 2020. When we have the power, we give it away. So what my focus is and what my intention is, I can't control what happens in the nation, but I can control what happens in our county. And I think that we do that by the county level. Now, do I see issues with election integrity and, you know, ways for breaches of our elections? I absolutely. But I don't want people to stop voting. I want them to continue to vote. I want them to keep forging forward. Right now, we have control of our house here in the state, and we just need to tighten some things up. I'm very concerned about the illegals that have crossed here that have gained citizenship or the right to vote. It remains questionable. They tend to like to push that back. Well, there's no illegals voting. Well, that's because they've called them refugees. And you know, you can split hairs over it, but if you cross the border illegally and you didn't go through the right process, so that remains to be seen. And I'm very interested to see the results of this election, especially on at the county level, seeing how these people vote and if they're really Republicans. I can tell you, not to put the fear in anyone, but I can tell you, as I've been running my campaign, I've had some people reach out to me on my social media page that will come off very controversial. And, well, I'm not going to support you because you're a Trumper, you're a never-Trumper. Well, absolutely, he's our Republican nominee. I'm running to be a state committee woman. It would be political suicide to say I don't support Trump. But if he looks in the other direction at my opponent, she's also supporting Trump. So then that makes me look at him and say, well, I need to dig into this guy. It'll turn out that this man was just switched his party, or he was an NPA before, moved here from Oregon. I'm seeing that more and more. So just because you are a registered Republican does not mean you intend to do good things on election day. No. And that's my scary part for me here on the county level.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Tom, go ahead.
Could I ask one more question?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Will Duval County ever go back? Will we ever get a Republican mayor? Because you've seen now Donna Deegan's got in. She's paid off everybody. She's paid off the police, paid off the fire with a 20% raise, and their golden parachute retirement, which the former administration, one before that, said that it would break Duval County to keep paying that pension. Is there ever any hope that we will go back to having a Republican mayor?
I think the better question here, I hear what you're saying, but I think the better question is, will we ever have a conservative mayor? If you remember, we've had 8 years of Lenny Curry, and he says he's a Republican, but he surely doesn't uphold our conservative values.
Right.
And just to touch on it, I mean, he spearheaded the HRO welcome Kamala Harris here. He was clowning around with her, taking selfie pictures, and took her on a tour of our city. He marched with BLM. Is that what Republican mayors represent?
No.
So what I want you to focus on, and I'm not speaking against the party, but I've said this before, the left wing and the right wing belong to the same bird. Is it going to help us if we get a Republican mayor? No, it's going to help us if we get a good conservative mayor. And the only way we're going to be able to do that is by making sure we clean up our house inside of our county GOP, because those are the ones that lay the groundwork for these people to get elected. And, you know, we're losing voter confidence. I can tell you, when we were out knocking the door and during my husband's campaign, the hardest thing to defend was, why should I vote Republican when they've done what they've done to us under a super majority Republican city council, et cetera, et cetera. So we just have to make sure that we are vetting these candidates better. If I'm elected, what I want to do is I want to create a tab, and there may be other ways to do it, but just a tab. You can get every elected official's voting record. You know, how did they vote on this issue, this key issue? When we get a new slate of candidates, we put the vetting information up there. I want their past voting records. I want, are they new Republican? Did they just switch to this party? What is their, you know, everything that's there. I'm not saying to tell people what to think, but the information, if it's provided to them in an easy way, you can reach and draw your own conclusions about your candidate. I cannot pretend that just because someone has an R behind their name that they will uphold our values. So that's what I would tend to do. Yes, I think that we can get us a Republican mayor, but what I want to know is if we can get us a conservative Republican mayor.
Amen. Tom, thank you so much for your call. God bless you. Keep looking up. I believe we have another caller on the line. Go ahead with the question or comment, please. Do we have another caller on the line? I don't hear.
Hello.
Turn the radio off behind you so we can hear you.
Yes, sir. I'll move away from the radio, Dr. Youngblood. My caregiver is here to assist me. I thought last voting period at age 92 would be my last one. But I'm still here, and I'm still depending upon you and faithful to your listening to your advice and your programming. I need to know, my daughter will be taking me to St. Peter's Episcopal Church in the morning, which is my voting precinct, and I have a copy of the voting. If you would please speak with my caregiver and tell her what names to put in for my vote. I enjoyed the monologue just now, and you can't depend. I don't want to just run a Republican. I'm afraid of that. So I'm depending upon you. Thank you for your help. And I'm putting my caregiver for you to help her fill in my blanks. Thank you, and God bless all.
Thank you so much for calling. God bless you. I'll let Melina handle that and respond to your caregiver. If necessary, she can take the number and give him a call or her a call back. If you'd like to, would you want to give that name or number? Melina, what would you say?
If Roger can get her address, I will drop off a voter guide, and I'll speak with your caregiver and make sure you have that before tomorrow. Would that help?
Yes.
Okay, so Mr. Roger, if you could help and get her information, a phone number and address, I'll make sure she gets that. Thank you so much, ma'am.
Thank you so much, and God bless you, and thank you so much for your continued faithfulness in honoring the Lord and our responsibility as citizens of a dual country, citizens of heaven and citizens here in this nation. And as dual citizens, we need to honor God in our citizenship. So thank you so much. I believe we have Derby on the line. Derby, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, I'd like to say something that maybe Melina
cannot say or doesn't want to say, but she doesn't say that because she's very nice. But I am not nice, so I'm sorry. One of Melina's opponents, Ginger South. Well, I just got a mailer. On the one side is campaigning for Dean Black. On the other side is Ginger South. So in my book, anybody who's friends of Dean Black is no good. So that's my main comment. And also thank Mike for not voting for the stadium renovation.
Well, Debbie, you're on target with some of the things you're saying, and naturally one of the things that I take a stand with Mike, by the way, is his vote on city council against the stadium. I think it is a large amount of money that will be wasted of taxpayer dollars in the city of Jacksonville. I believe the stadium, as it presently stands, benefits less than 1% of the citizens of Duval County, and yet 100% of the citizens will be required to pay for it. And I'm personally against it. I have been since they started that years ago, and now with the idea, what is it, $2 billion, $4 billion? You know, I can't even count that far that they're talking about spending. And it simply gives Shad Khan a greater level of authority, control, and power over the city of Jacksonville. I'm personally opposed to it. Others can have their own position on it. That's all right. God created us with a volitional choice and a decision of our own. And that's just my position. And so I'm thankful for it. And, yes, I am concerned, Derby, just as you are, and just as Melanie is in relationship to what's happening with our political, how would you say, operatives here in the city of Jacksonville. I think we have made a mistake of looking at the R, the D after a name, and especially with the R, thinking that somehow if it is a Republican, they got to be conservative. In fact, another major mistake that is made many times in Republican circles is thinking if it is a Republican, they're conservative, and secondly, if they're Republican conservative, they've got to be a Christian. That's simply not true at all. We need to vet the candidates, as Melinda said a moment ago, and in vetting the candidates, make sure that we have the right candidate for the position that we're voting on. We, the people, need to make the decision of what is best for our city, for our community, and what honors God and our voting record. So, Derby, you're on target. Thank you so much, and keep looking up. Ladies and gentlemen, the telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. We're talking with Melina Gay today. Melina is the candidate for the committee woman for the state of Florida, and I'm looking forward to what God is going to do, not if she's elected, but when she's elected. I noticed a moment ago, Melina, you said something about when, if I'm elected, it's when you're elected, because tomorrow is going to be Victory Day, in my most humble opinion, and I am thankful for you and for your stand. Would you take just a few minutes to give our listeners something about your background, your qualifications, why you are qualified to run for this position? And just touch on that very briefly before our news break.
Yes, sir. So my career was spent like 20 years. I was a stenographer, a court reporter. I owned and operated my own court reporting agency and mediation center. Over that time, I learned that words mean a lot of things. You have to really pay attention to language and words that they use because it's all based around the legalities of it. I mean, we have a lot of attorneys with a lot of, they're very smart men. I'll give them that. They don't always do the great best things with their smarts, but they're not going to bamboozle me here. And I'm going to give you an example. Let me stop with my experience. Let me go back to it. Since being a court reporter, I got really involved in election integrity, tired of having all these establishment type officials, you know, serving us. It's not upholding our values. So I started vetting candidates. And a lot of the things that we could tell that would be a precursor for what we could expect from that candidate are right there under the surface. They're not going to write about it. They're not going to talk to you. There's a lot of things that you can find right under your nose that you just got to know where to look for. One of those things would be looking through their campaign contributions and their affiliations with what I call dark money PACs. I call it dark money PACs because you don't know where that money's coming
from.
Yes,
that's right.
The other thing would be serving as the data analysis, the research and data analysis division lead for a nonpartisan organization. We take out the politics and we get down to people that are violating our constitutional rights, finding breaches in the Constitution and our local ordinances.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'll hang in there for just a few moments, we're going to have the top of the hour news. Right after the top of the hour news, we'll continue with our conversation and interview with Melena Gay. She's running for the Florida committeewoman's position. We're looking forward to what God is going to do. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL.